You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most interesting organizations. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two guests, two former Olympians, as the Olympics ended today in Beijing. Kim St. Pierre, the goalie for three gold medal-winning hockey teams, and Craig Bunton, an Olympian in figure skating. Great to have you both with us today. Kim, let's start with you. Tell us about your early years. Where are you from? What did your family do?
Yes, I grew up in Châteauguay, Quebec. My parents were both really involved in physical activity and sports. So I grew up riding my bike besides my mom running or playing hockey with my dad. So I was exposed to many different sports. And I have two brothers as well. I'm in the middle. So our family was always outside playing sports, summer sports and winter sports. So we didn't stick to just hockey. Hockey came pretty late, I would say, in my experience. But my parents are still very active. So now I have two kids and I'm trying to do the same with my kids. And they're loving being out there, moving and playing with their friends.
Kim, was it a bit more unusual for a girl to play hockey back in the day, or had it already gone beyond that?
No, I was pretty the only lonely girl playing hockey on my boys' team. I started when I was 8 years old. Before that, I was a figure skater, actually, from 5 to 8. But at some point, yeah, playing with my brothers, watching the Montreal Canadiens on TV, my dad would always build an ice rink in our backyard, and we had so many friends coming to play hockey. So I started grabbing a hockey stick and I fell in love right away with the sport. And I asked my parents if I could play and they agreed. Early in my second year, one of the coaches brought a goalie equipment in the room and he said, "Who wants to be a goalie today?" And I was like, me. And my mom was like, no. Because back then you were the goalie if you didn't know how to skate or if you were the worst skater. But coming from figure skating, I was pretty good. So they agreed to just let me play one game. It didn't go well. I wanted to quit, but they saw I was so sad and they knew it was a passion for me. So they gave me the opportunity to put on the goalie equipment again and never look back. So I was the only girl on my team from age 8 to age 18. So at the beginning, it's a little the usual, it's the same, you don't feel different. But as you go through the teenage years or when you go to training camps, things get a little harder. But I think it helped me build my confidence, my self-esteem, and I was there for the passion of the sport. I wasn't trying to do anything different. It was just about hockey.
I've heard, I interviewed Ken Dryden, a well-known Canadian goalie. His theory is that there tend to be more introverted people who play goalie because of half the game you're cheering for your team and you're by yourself at one end. What do you think about Ken's theory, Kim?
Oh, I agree. I've always said that hockey, being a goalie, is more of an individual sport within a team sport. Everything we do is so different. When the coaches talk, usually it doesn't really matter to us. So we kind of have to build our own strength, build our own mentality. When we have a goalie coach, it's the best because they understand what we go through. They prepare us well. But if not, definitely you kind of become, maybe not quiet on the team, but you kind of have to do your own thing. And usually goalies are not the most vocal leaders either on the team. For me, I prefer to lead by example, lead by hard work, lead by trying to be perfect in practices. And I think it showed on the team. And that's what I've heard from my teammates, that they saw that just by looking at how I was in my net, they knew they had confidence in me. So I think sometimes they say goalies are weird, but I don't think it's weird. It's just, yeah, we need to be at the perfect place if we want to play well.
We're speaking with Kim St. Pierre, a three-time Olympic gold medal winner in women's hockey, and Craig Bunton, an Olympic figure skater from a few years ago. I'm Coral Moore, and you're listening to the CO Series. How different was it to play with women as opposed to boys and young men?
That's a great question, because I transitioned to women's hockey because of McGill. Dan Madden was the manager in 98, and he offered me to play hockey. So I was about to quit hockey because with the men's, I didn't have any opportunity. I was not drafted. So I was a little scared, to be honest, to play women's hockey, because I had tried to be a part of Team Quebec, but I was cut 4 years in a row. I was not good enough to play. So for me, girls and women's hockey was not something I wanted to do. But when Mr. Madden offered me to play to McGill, I was so excited. I didn't speak English. I didn't know anybody going to McGill. But when he said it's to play for the women's team, I was like, I don't want to do this. But my dad convinced me, and just by going on the McGill campus, I saw the opportunity to study at a great university and play hockey. And when I got into McGill, the team, the women's team, was the best. I met some of my best and amazing friends. But the first month, what they say is that I would just come to practice, stop every single puck, and then just leave. Because for me, it was just a shock. It was a transition. You don't talk about the same thing, just being surrounded by other ladies in the dressing room, the caliber, everything was a little different. But I think they were very patient with me, and they let me get used to this new hockey style. And at some point, I merged in. I made many friends. I learned English, and I loved being at McGill. So it really helped the transition. And that decision opened up the doors for the national women's team. So I'm so grateful for my decision to go to McGill.
Craig, where are you from, and what did your family do when you got started?
So I started a little bit later than most athletes do. So I was, you know, my mom raised my brother and I on our own, single family household. We were in a pretty rough neighborhood just outside Vancouver. And my mom, who is such an inspiration for so many things, but for this in particular, she basically, when we went into high school, she said she just, you know, packed the kids up and drove out of town, basically moved to a town called Kelowna, just outside, like a few hours out of Vancouver. And she did that without having kind of a job or anything there to go to, but just said, you know, I want my kids to go to a safe high school in a good neighborhood, and I'll figure it out when I get there. So it was basically just the two of us showed up in this, you know, 86 Chevette, and mom got a job and kind of, you know, went into school and figured it out. And you know, my first day in school, all the kids were talking about hockey, and they had all these hockey cards, and it was just such a big part of the culture. And I walked in just feeling like an alien. You know, I had never spoken about sport ever, and never mind hockey. I was kind of like, what's this all about? So I joined skating lessons. It was the CanSkate program through Skate Canada. Got on the ice. I was 10 years old, almost 11. And, you know, most of the kids were sort of much younger, maybe half my age. And I just, you know, I took to it. I had my hockey skates, and on my first day, you know, some of the instructors kind of took me aside, and we started doing a couple little jumps in my hockey skates and a couple little turns and spins. And I just really fell in love with being on the ice. It was something about the freedom that I had out there from the very first day. And I got home from that day, and, you know, we sort of, I think my mom got her first skating bill the week after. And she sort of said to me, look, there's a lot of different sports we can do. You know, there's soccer, there's all these different. But she said, look, if you want to do this, I'll support you, and I'll do it 100%. But just know it is expensive. But if you want to really like dive in and do this a lot. And I told her that day, it was my first, you know, 2-3 days of skating. And I told her, nope, I want to go to the Olympics. This is it for me. This is the thing that I want to do. And I just, that never changed. So that was kind of my start.
We're speaking with Kim St. Pierre, a three-time Olympic gold medal winner in women's hockey, and Craig Bunton, an Olympic figure skater from a few years ago. I'm Coral Moore, and you're listening to the CO Series. So when did you make the Olympic team? What age was that? And tell us a bit about the path of how you got there.
So I can give you the short version. There was a point in my life as well when I was in Kelowna. I was the only guy in an arena filled with figure skating girls. And, it wasn't until I was about sort of 16, 17 that other guys kind of came into the club and we started training. And, I came to kind of a crossroads when I was about 18, where I was, you know, I think 11th ranked guy in novice. I was the guy that no scout would have looked at. I knew I had some good jumps. I knew I had a great work ethic. And I basically looked at a map, much like my mom had done, you know, 8 years earlier. And I said, where are all the best skaters in the world? Where are all the best coaches? And I'm just going to go there. And I got on a flight, I'd been working two jobs while going to school in my last year to save up enough money to kind of get on the flight and go. And I knew I had enough money for a few months of rent and got to Montreal, which is where at the time Paul Wertz was coaching. He was one of the most well-known names in the sport. He had a lot of champions under him. And I kind of just said, look, I'm coming here. I'm going to try another school after this one until I find a pair skater that is, you know, the right fit for me. And I'm just going to stay wherever I find my partner. And sure enough, that was the first center I went to. There was a girl there that we matched really well. And I learned what hard work is at that point. Pushed harder than I ever imagined I'd be able to. Just had, you know, Paul was one of those coaches that's really well known for pushing athletes very, very hard, morning to night. And within the year, we became junior national champions. And really, I mean, from there, it was sort of a 2-3 year path to getting up to the senior level. And by the time the games came, my then partner and I, we were national champions. We were defending our national title the year of the Olympics. And it was, you know, we were kind of just sort of coming up in the world ranks. And so it was, you know, making that team was something that I will never, ever forget.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two Olympians, Kim St. Pierre and Craig Bunton. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about their experiences as athletes at the Olympics.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again. You're listening to the CO Series. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two Olympians, Kim St. Pierre and Craig Bunton. Of the three gold medals, Kim, which was biggest for you?
For sure, 2002, because when I was younger, I was dreaming about going to the Olympics. I didn't know which sport because I loved them all. And I think I had said that in my first like TV interview in Châteauguay. I said, I'm going to go to the Olympics in every sport but hockey, because women's hockey was not out there. So now I'm so glad to see that the little girls are able to dream about being on a national team and hopefully at some point in our own professional women's league. But that's why when I got to 2002, representing Canada, and for me, the big moment was the opening ceremonies. I don't know why, but when I was younger, watching the opening ceremonies on TV, and whenever they said, welcome Canada, it was just so special to me. So when I walked in the stadium in Salt Lake City, I think it made it official when they said, okay, I'm a part of Canada, I'm going to represent my country. And once the game started, for sure, it was all about hockey, and having a chance to play for the gold medal was very, very special.
So everyone you know is watching. It's the finals. Did you feel enormous pressure?
I felt a lot of pressure, but for me, throughout my career, the pressure was a lot like the day before. But once I got to the rink with my team, then it was all about just playing hockey again. But I remember the day before the final in Salt Lake, my parents, we were able to eat with our parents. And then at some point we had to say our goodbyes and then walking on the bus just to go back to the village. And my dad said, Kim, it's all about you tomorrow. Then I was like, and then it's time to say bye. So I walk on the bus. I was like, why did he say that? And I knew like it was, the pressure was on the goalie having lost so many games. The Americans were so good because they centralized almost 6 months prior to us. So definitely they were a better team. But then we trust the process. Like the coaches had something, a plan in mind, and we had to trust it. So I walked on the bus, and then the pressure, like I could feel my heart pumping. And I was like, I know the pressure is on me, but then my dad saying it to me, but it was nothing. He didn't want to put more pressure on my shoulders, but he just wanted me to do well. But it's just the way he said it was different. And when I woke up that morning and the Olympic Village, we were playing early, it was like sunny and beautiful. And right away, I knew everything would go well. And this team, it was a very special team. Everyone believed that we had a chance, even if nobody believed we had one. And when we scored the first goal, then I played free. Like, I didn't think. I just played, stuffed the pucks. And then I think that that game, we had 13 penalties against our team. And we knew the U.S. power play was amazing. But every time we were able to go through the PK, our team was just getting bigger, bigger and bigger. So the last 10 seconds was a dream come true. And we were so excited to win this special game.
We're speaking with Kim St. Pierre, a three-time Olympic gold medal winner in women's hockey, and Craig Bunton, an Olympic figure skater from a few years ago. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CO Series. Craig, what was it like for you to compete? Was it enough to be there at the Olympics medal or not?
Of course. Yeah, look, it's never that, right? As an athlete, you're always challenging yourself to be better than you think you can be, right? And so in the Olympics, it lines up every 4 years. We were coming in at the time, I think we were ranked, I'm going to say somewhere in the range of, I think we were eighth or ninth in the world at the world going in the year before. So for us, I mean, we weren't at the point in our career where we were at the top three level. We knew we weren't going to get a medal going in. We're still national champions, and you still spend the year, you know, prior to the Olympics, everywhere you go, you know, you go to the post office and the person hands you your mail and goes, go for gold. You know, it's just like everywhere you go there, you know that you've dedicated, you know, 15, 20 years of your life to this. You know, your family has given up their home to you know, support your training. Everybody has chipped in. You know, my brother worked in other jobs to help support it. And so it's like by the time you get there, never mind the if you're not lined up for a medal, if you're not sort of a medal hopeful, you still want to put down the best performance you have ever put in your life in that moment, right? And there still are, I don't know how many tens or hundreds of millions of people watching, right? And that's not lost on you when you get there. And so for us, there's so many amazing moments of the opening ceremonies. Yeah, I mean, walking behind that Canada flag was something that I will never forget. But the thing that actually kind of surprised me, and you touched on it, Kim, is being alone out there. So it's my partner and I, not completely alone, but it was, you know, they call Canada, they call the names, and in figure skating, the whole arena goes very, very quiet. And then you're standing there and you can hear your heartbeat, and, you know, the music starts and we start moving. And as we were skating into our first jump, it was the cameras, this as we pushed into the first jump. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, what is that? And so it was just this sort of, you know, the newness of the Olympics. And yet it is just, you know, another competition. It was just like any other world championships, but the Olympics is just so big. And so, yeah, I mean, it was definitely a week or two in my life that I has, you know, I will always remember very fondly. It was something that the work and the drive and the path to get there has driven me to, you know, to do things in my life now that I would never have done if not for having been a competitive athlete. So
you can go back to another Olympics, but ultimately you go, I'm not returning. When did you make that decision?
So I, you know, one of the proudest moments of my career was actually in between two Olympics. It was in between 06 and 2010. In 2007, my partner and I were ranked fourth in the world. The Olympics are in my hometown 2.5 years from now, right? So we are now in a position where in our career, we're sort of getting close, and we probably were in contention for a medal in my hometown Olympics, right? Unexpectedly, my partner said, I no longer like skating anymore. I've done everything that I can do. She was ready to retire in 06 and kind of, you know, said, okay, I'll do another 4 years. And you know, she just was ready to retire. And so basically 2.5 years before the Olympics, as the fourth ranked skater in the world, I was looking at retiring. And you know, I called around looking for partners and tried everything that I could do. I sent hundreds of letters. And basically I said, that's it, throwing in the towel, got on the train and was headed back to Toronto just to kind of like you know, figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I kind of just said, no, like if there is a girl in the world, I don't care where she is. If she can do a triple toe loop, like that's the jump that I did, I'm going to find her. I'm going to skate with her. We got 2.5 years. I'm going for it. And I borrowed my mom's car when I got to Toronto. I drove 3,000 kilometers across North America to every little arena and in Lively, Ontario, near Sudbury, met Megan Duhamel, who did the jumps, did the throws, did the, you know, did all the elements. She was coming back from an injury. You know, she was definitely not somebody at that time that you'd look at and say, this is an Olympic contender. But she moved literally the next day to Montreal, and we started working 12-hour days. And within 7 months, we were the sixth ranked team in the world, and in contention to make the games again. That year, injury, torn rotator cuffs, all kinds of the surgeries, everything. And we ended up missing the Olympic spot in 2010 by one point. We literally like one point. But you know what? I walked out of that national championships going, I know, like I never will. I didn't retire not knowing what I could have done. That was literally the maximum of what I could have ever achieved in my career. And I walked away in complete peace, knowing that that was my time to retire. And I think that is sort of part of the Olympic spirit. You know, like Kim, I'm honestly fanboying here. 3 Olympic gold medals, but the Olympics are not just about the medals. It's about that drive, that work, that fight to be the best. And that's something that does carry forward in our careers and our lives and in everything.
Coaching now includes a lot of big data. Do you think that data is really useful, Kim?
I love stats. I love details. It just helps you understand the game or see where you need to work or players to watch. Or it's so detailed that it helps you build your team the way you want to, or improve, or see your best players. Sometimes it's not the one that scores so many goals. So these stats are very, very detailed. And I was so impressed when I looked at the report from Canada and the US. And it tells you a lot. And so, yeah, thanks for having this great idea. And it's very useful for us working in the media world, but as well for players. I know it's not about stats, but it really helps you get better as a team and as an individual.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two former Olympians, Kim St. Pierre and Craig Bunton. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about their learnings and what they took away from their time at the Olympics.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again. You're listening to the CEO Series. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two Olympians, Kim St. Pierre and Craig Bunton. When you made the team, is there like an Olympic camp you go to for a couple months? How does that work?
So I'm not sure about other sports. In Canada, I think the Canadian Olympic Committee did a really great job of sort of bringing the athletes together in sort of these leadership series, and they had sort of team building exercises and things like that that we did. But for the most part, Olympic years are a bit nutty, and what you try to do is just stay as focused as you can on sort of what you need to do to perform. And so for us, it was like there was this moment, you know, when the marks came up at nationals and we were going, and you know, you see your parents up in the stands, everybody's crying, and there was sort of that. But then we got home and we got to work, and there was no, you know, like we have the most important competition of our lives in the next 3 weeks, and now we are going to shut out the world, and we're going to focus everything bit of energy we have on you know, on personal best.
Question for either of you. Incredible discipline, hard work, is that part of who you are today? Do you bring that to the business world?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I think it definitely helped me transition to the real world, I call it. It was not easy because playing hockey was my life, was my expertise. It was something that would challenge me every day. So I didn't know if I would be able to find this again after retiring. So for me, I had 2 kids. So it helped to transition to come back home and take care of my kids. So being an athlete, it's all about you, what you eat, what you sleep, what you do, how you train. But having 2 kids put everything in perspective, because it was not about me anymore. It was about the 2 of them. So I took 2 or 3 years to transition to be a mom. And then I went back to the working world. But everything I do, even recently, I was inducted in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And it was so stressful that last Monday when we do the actual speech, I used everything I learned in hockey, the preparation in that speech, and especially the visualization. I think in hockey and so many sports, it's a big part of how we perform. So I definitely visualize me going up on stage and breathing and then delivering my speech. Like I knew so many people were watching, all my friends and family. So it was a big moment. So I used ways to handle pressure for the Hall of Fame speech. But even now working, I do the same. So how I prepare, how I work, how I set myself some objectives and goals, it's definitely the way I work now. So it's funny how it's definitely helped me go through the working life.
Kim, what are you working at these days?
I work for the BOX program, which is a physical activity program for kids. We offer free resources for kids in schools and families and youth organizations all over Canada. So we have more than 4,000 schools working with us. So we promote physical activity. We do some trainings for teachers on how to include more physical activity. We get the kids active. We work on new content. So definitely it's all about getting kids from elementary to high school more active. So I'm in charge of all schools in Quebec, but I'm also in charge of partnership now and trying to find more companies to work with ours.
We're speaking with Kim St. Pierre, a three-time Olympic gold medal winner in women's hockey, and Craig Bunton, an Olympic figure skater from a few years ago. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Craig, the discipline of being an Olympian, has that affected your career?
Yeah, you know, I was actually just thinking as Kim was speaking, I think the perspective I have now, so I mean, I've been retired for probably 12 years now. That was fast. When I think of the things that I took from being an athlete, definitely goal setting and like having really highly targeted focused goals. Visualization is a huge one. Every sales pitch, every presentation, there's always this sort of like, what is it going to feel like when it's done? What is it going to look like when I'm standing there? The discipline and hard work was one that it's an interesting point, because as an athlete, I was always, I was never the most gifted, right? But I was the one that was there first, I left last, and I would go until I threw up and I didn't care, I'd do it again. I was just, hardworking was my thing. When I got out of the sport, I just thought I could power through the same way, right? I'm just gonna work that hard and I'm gonna be as successful at no matter what I do. You know, I retired, I was 29, 30 years old, and I didn't really have much of a future in front of me. I didn't have an education, I didn't have a career, I had nothing, right? Fortunately, McGill accepted me into the MBA program out of that, as, you know, sort of looked at my history, and I was an entrepreneur, I was starting a company, and I was accepted into the MBA program. And you know, so I started in this full-time MBA program while I had just started a company as well. And I was just basically like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, build this startup while full-time school. And I was, you know, getting married at the time too. It was just like, everything was there. I was waking up at, I don't know, 4 a.m. I was probably going to bed around 2 a.m. I was pulling at least one all-nighter a week, and I was just working straight through for about a year and a half with no break. And I realized then that the idea of dedication and work ethic is not the same when as an athlete as it is outside of the in the real world, right? So yes, you've got to be dedicated, you've got to be hardworking. You've also got to recognize that you're putting your energy into your work, into your family, into your sleep, into your food. And those are things that I totally lost sight of in the first year and a half. And so when I think of the things that I took, I think the visualization and the goal setting were probably the most powerful tools that I took as an athlete. The hard work, I work really hard for 8 to 10 hours a day at work. And I cap it there because I have to, not because I want to.
What was your first startup, Craig?
So it was a coffee company. We were making sort of like some coffee tea hybrids. Built it up, got it sort of hustled, got into about 100 cafes, and ended up selling it to my distributor around the time that I was finishing up at McGill. I realized at McGill that I was I had gotten what I needed from that startup, is that I'd learned sort of how to hustle, how to build a company. And I had an education. I had some time to kind of reflect on really what I wanted to do and the career that I wanted to build. And I knew that I was ready to start my next company out of school. I knew that I had the tools that I didn't have 2-3 years earlier. And that's what I did out of school.
So here's an exam question, Kim. Compare and contrast a team versus an individual Olympic athlete.
Yeah, it would be interesting to hear what Craig has to say, because I'm sure being an individual athlete, you're surrounded by a team. Like, there's so many people working with you, but when it's go time, you're alone. For us, at least, like, say, when you play the gold medal final, there's a team. So if you're scared, you're stressed, there's something wrong, there's always, like, teammates to look and talk to, and it's not all about you. Everyone has to step up and play their best game to win a gold medal. But so I felt maybe less stressed than an individual athlete that has to do everything to win a medal at the Olympics. But that's something else too that I am bringing to my work life, how to work as a team and how to listen to coaches or people above me. It's, and just how to not be best friends as well with everyone that you're on the team. We were 22 hockey girls on the team. So it's how to, yes, you have your best friends, but how do you get to work and understand that it's all about hockey, and you can't be best friends with everybody. But definitely for us, having the support was a huge difference maker.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two former Olympians, Kim St. Pierre and Craig Bunton. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about whether an introvert or extrovert and how they stay in shape.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again. You're listening to the CEO Series. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with two Olympians, Kim St. Pierre and Craig Bunton. Have you guys been watching the Olympics in China?
Yeah, I've been glued to it. Yeah, the Olympics is sort of the one sporting event that lives up to the hype. It's just always inspirational. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for figure skating, but the amazing performances. I mean, those kids are doing things right now that I never thought I would see in my life, right? It's unbelievable.
How about you, Kim? It's in China, so you know there's stuff going on. What do you think?
Yes, this year was special for yes, the pandemic, but everything else as well that people were talking about. But Olympics is about sport, so I'm glad they decided to go. It's all about, it's their life, and they want to represent their country and play at the Olympics. So I'm happy that everything went well for the Olympics. And for sure, I've been watching because I'm working on Radio Canada for the broadcast, so I'm able to do the games, so do the being a hockey analyst. So that's another side of my working job now, to work on RDS and Radio Canada. It's very different to be on TV versus playing, but I'm enjoying it. And just like you said, Craig, the athletes in hockey, the improvement that the young ones coming on, their teams are so skilled, they're so fast. And yeah, the women's game has improved so much over the years.
Kim, were you really disappointed the NHL players didn't go?
Yes, for sure. I think at the Olympics, you want to see the best athletes in the world. And having the NHL guys compete against each other in their own countries, I think makes it so special. I think it was a last minute decision, but I think everyone was disappointed. But on the other side, the tournament is good to watch. It's fun to watch. So it gives opportunities to other players to be able to represent their country. But for sure, it was a bit disappointing not to see them at the Olympics.
Kim, are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
Introvert, for sure. I try to work on my extroverted side, but I've always been more introverted. More quiet. I prefer to listen and to talk.
Craig, what about you?
So I, 2 years ago, I would have told you I'm somewhere in the middle. COVID has taught me that I'm absolutely an extrovert. I need to be around people. I get energy from people.
Kim, how do you keep in shape today?
Yes, that's another point. Once you transition to your career or being a mom, nobody knows if you're working out or not. Like if you're on the national team, you have to do your trainings, follow the plan and do testing. So once you're free, for me, it took a while to get back to it because now I didn't have to do it. And why would I train? Like I didn't have an Olympics or a world championship to prepare for. But not too long after, I decided that it was a part of my life and I needed it to feel good, feel less stressed, or just it gives me a lot of energy when I work out. But definitely it took a few months to get back into it. Then I got pregnant. So for 2 or 3 years, I was not at my best. But now, especially with the work I do, with the kids running around, and I try to work out at least 4 or 5 times a week, not the same intensity. I mostly do body weight stuff at home or yoga, and but definitely it's still a part of my life, even if it's just for fun.
Craig, what's your workout routine?
So after the games, I was dedicated to not working out for like a year or two. And I mean, like hot dogs and hamburgers were my focus. I was just awful. I just like put it all aside. And after a few years, I took up just light jogging. And it was something that the challenge for me was just not trying to, you know, be a all of a sudden be a marathon winner, you know. It was like, no, Craig, don't be nuts, like just do it because you want to stay in shape. So I run a couple days a week. I actually got a trainer for the first time in 12 years. I started that 2 weeks ago, and I feel pain in a way that I have not felt since I was an athlete. But yeah, I mean, just you know, if you want your mind to be strong, your body has to be strong. And so yeah, a little bit of running, a little bit of gym, just enough to feel good.
We're speaking with Kim St. Pierre, a 3-time Olympic gold medal winner in women's hockey, and Craig Bunton, an Olympic figure skater from a few years ago. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. What advice would you have for the Olympians that are flying home this week or next week?
Yeah, that's a good question. Once you, depending on what happens, if you come out as a winner, then everything's fine, you feel great, everyone's excited to see you, and it's not about just getting a medal. I think it's the objective that you had in mind. And for example, there's a snowboarder, Elizabeth Huskin. She was at her second game. She's 20 years old now, and she finished 6th in the world, and for her it was a great performance, and she was so excited and happy to come home. And I think it's all about enjoying the process. If I go back to 2006, the day before the final, the coach decided to go with the other goalie. So for me, for 4 years, I just wanted to be the starter again, playing 2006 in the finals. But that year we played Sweden because they had beat the Americans in the semis. So it was the worst day of my life. But then the next day we were going for the gold medal. So if you only think about the end result, for me, it's not enough. So it's all about enjoying the journey and making sure you did everything that you could. So no matter what happens at the Olympics, you feel good about yourself, you're happy. And when you come home, you have this accomplishment status, like you're happy. And for sure, there's a period that you need to go over and think about everything that happened. But for me, yeah, it taught me to really enjoy the process. So hopefully these athletes are happy. But I've seen so many interviews and I see their maturity, and yes, there's things you can learn from, but then you also need to move on and then decide what you want to do with your life. But I think having great support around you is key as well.
Craig, what about you?
Well, I think Kim nailed it, that it kind of depends on where you're at in your career, right? There's sort of a few reasons that athletes retire. One could be sort of injury. One could be, this is, you know, just give up and I quit. And one could be that you have a planned retirement. And oftentimes those planned retirements happen at the end of a 4-year Olympic cycle. So there will be a lot of athletes like me who are kind of coming out going, what do I do next, right? Except that there will be a transition period, that you will be uncomfortable, that you're going to go through a time where you may feel lost, when you walk into a room and you're no longer special, right? You know, it's as an Olympian, the focus is always on you to make sure you have everything that you need. And out in the real world, you need to figure out how to, you know, get a bus on your own and make a meal on your own. And it's pretty humbling. So, you know, accepting that you don't need to be an Olympic champion at whatever you do next within a year, right? Remember how long it took you to be great at what you're doing, and accept that at some parts during that transition, you're going to need to take your hands off the steering wheel and accept that life is going to grow and transition at its own pace. I think the fact that you are an Olympian says that whatever you dedicate yourself to, you will probably be successful at, but give it the time to mature in the same way that your athletic career did. And also don't hesitate to reach out to other athletes who have retired, transitioned into their careers. Open up about how you're feeling. Don't hold that inside and just, know that everything's going to be okay. Because maybe the summary there.
This is the CEO Series. Craig and Kim, thank you for joining us today. We'd like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, and our show producer, Youssef Sahoni. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.